This is VOA News. I'm Lori London. International relief agencies expressing outrage and disgust at a Saudi-led coalition airstrike on Houthi rebels that killed at least 43 people Thursday in Yemen, many of them children. More than 60 people were wounded. One missile struck a bus taking children back from a summer school picnic. Television pictures from a hospital showed bloody covered youngsters who seemed too stunned to even cry. Others writhed on the floor waiting for help. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence says President Donald Trump's proposed Space Force is necessary to meet the emerging threats of this new battlefield.
And just as we've done in ages past, the United States of America, under his leadership, will meet the emerging threats on this new battlefield with American ingenuity and strength.
In June, Trump called for the creation of the Space Force, a new military branch that Trump said is needed to ensure U.S. dominance in space. The vice president said the administration wants the new force in operation by 2020. Zimbabwean opposition leader Tendai Biti was charged Thursday with inciting public violence and unlawfully announcing the results of last week's disputed election. He said, "We will keep fighting," as he arrived at a court in the capital of Harare. Biti was deported to Zimbabwe after authorities in neighboring Zambia rejected his request for asylum. The United Nations Refugee Agency released a statement saying it was gravely concerned about reports of Zambia's refusal to grant him amnesty in its decision to deport him, calling the action a serious violation of international law. And you are listening to VOA News. Two major wildfires, one that's the largest in California history, are burning more than 160 kilometers north of Sacramento, California. Another huge fire near Yosemite National Park is a little farther to the southeast. They're just a few of the dozens of wildfires burning in the state. Firefighter Craig Cottrill says the state of California requested help from Australian and New Zealand firefighters.
There's about 40 New Zealanders and about another 120 Australians here, and so we got a request for help from your federal agencies, and we've come out here to A, assist as much as we can, but B, to learn a bit from, you know, the scale of what you do here is amazing.
A dull haze and the faint smell of smoke from distant blazes have blanketed many California cities for 2 weeks, forcing summer campers to stay inside, obscuring normally bright skylines and leaving cars covered with ash. A third strong earthquake has shaken the Indonesian island of Lombok as the death toll from the first quake continues to rise. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
The strong aftershock, measured at magnitude 5.9 by the American Geological Survey, has caused panic, damage to buildings, landslides and injuries. Officials say it was centered in the northwest of the island and hasn't got the potential to cause a tsunami. They've also now put the official death toll from an earlier quake above 300. Grieving relatives are now burying their dead and medics tending to people injured in the quakes. The Red Cross says it's focusing relief efforts on an estimated 20,000 people yet to get assistance. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The divorce battle between actors Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie is flaring up, and AP Corps entertainment editor Oscar Wells Gabriel reports there are now dueling petitions before a Los Angeles court.
One day after Angelina Jolie went to court complaining that Brad Pitt has paid no meaningful child support, Pitt has clapped back with his own filing. In it, the actor says he has given his estranged wife more than $1 million and that he has loaned her another $8 million since they split 2 years ago. In the filing, Pitt's attorney says the actor shelled out $1.3 million for bills for Jolie and their six kids. The $8 million loan, that Pitt claims, went for the home that she and the kids currently live in. As for Jolie's request that the divorce process be wrapped up by the end of the year, Pitt's lawyers say it was their client who suggested that. I'm Oscar Wells Gabriel.
A Muslim civil rights organization says it plans to file a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the federal government's terror watch list system. A senior attorney with the Council on American Islamic Relations says the group plans to file the lawsuit in federal court on Wednesday on behalf of 10 million travelers. I'm Lori London in Washington.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Friday, August 10th, and here are some of the stories we are following. Zimbabwe opposition leader Tendai Biti is due back in court today, Friday, in Harare, as Zambia defends its decision to deport him.
The decision was made after very firm assurance from Zimbabwean authorities that Mr. Tendai Biti will be treated fairly, he will be subjected to the due process of the law, and he will be accorded fair trial.
Amos Chanda is spokesman for Zambian President Edgar Lungu. The people of Mali are going back to the polls this Sunday in a run of presidential election. We'll have analysis. And South Africa sees a rise in anti-immigrant politics.
We should get rid of all foreigners who are here. They are taking South Africa's jobs. They sleep with our sister. They get married to them so that they get South African citizenship. When they get them, they abandon them.
Thembelani Gubane is the leader of the African Basic Movement Party of South Africa. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley Sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Zimbabwe opposition leader Tendai Biti is due back in court today, Friday, to answer charges he played a role in inciting post-election violence. Biti fled to neighboring Zambia seeking political asylum, but was deported yesterday back to Zimbabwe. He was released on a $5,000 bill. But as Colombo's Mavunga reports from Harare, Biti's lawyers say their client was abducted.
Movement for Democratic Change senior official Tendai Biti was taken in handcuffs by police Thursday to the Harare Magistrate Court. Spirits are very, very high. We keep on fighting, he told VOA. Prosecutor Justin Uladi read charges against Biti and accused the politician of announcing false election results, saying opposition leader Nelson Chamisa had won Zimbabwe's July 30th polls. The state said Biti took part in the violence that rocked Harare during last week's opposition protest and destroyed property worth $345,000. After the state and the defense finished their statements, Magistrate Francis Mapfumo granted Biti $5,000 bail. He was supposed to surrender his passport. On top of that, Magistrate Mapfumo ordered Biti to report to police twice a day. Even though her client was granted bail, attorney Beatrice Mtetwa of Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights said she would challenge Biti's arrest in court on Friday.
Well, because there's a court order from a Lusaka court where he's supposed to have been today if he had not been abducted.
Why do you say he was abducted?
He was not brought here in terms of the country's extradition laws or SADC protocol on extradition or Zimbabwe's Criminal Mutual Assistance Act. He was not brought in terms of the law. You'll hear tomorrow what happens in court.
Biti, who fled to Zambia on Wednesday and was deported Thursday, is one of the several senior opposition officials Zimbabwe police say are wanted in connection with election-related offenses. On Friday, the opposition is expected to challenge the outcome of Zimbabwe's July 30th general elections, which the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission said was won by incumbent President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Columbus Mavunga, VOA News, Harare.
The Zambian government is defending its decision to deport Zimbabwe opposition leader Tendai Biti back to Zimbabwe yesterday, Thursday. Mr. Biti fled to Zambia after he was wanted by Zimbabwe government for allegedly inciting post-election violence. Amos Chanda, spokesman for Zambian President Edgar Lungu, says Zambia received strong assurances from the Zimbabwe government that Mr. Biti will be accorded a fair trial. The United Nations Refugee Agency has criticized the Zambian government, saying forcibly returning refugees and asylum seekers to their country of origin is a serious violation of international refugee law. But Chanda says the criticism is unjustified because Zambia has an impeccable record when it comes to accommodating refugees.
decision was made after a very firm assurance from Zimbabwean authorities that Mr. Tendai Biti will be treated fairly, he will be subjected to the due process of the law, and he will be accorded fair trial. As you know, Zambia came to understand that Mr. Tendai Biti was a fugitive of the law, and there was a due process of the law. A warrant of arrest had been issued, and the charge sheet within the normal criminal procedure of the Zimbabwean authorities. Zimbabwe and Zambia do share a history that the judicial system will face, especially when it comes to criminal prosecution. When we were satisfied that the due process of law would take its course, we handed him back. And true to our decision as government of the Republic of Zambia, Mr. Tendai Biti has since appeared in court, and he has been granted bail. As we speak, he's at home, so there is a due process of the law taking place. So we were not in any doubt whatsoever that the pledge and the assurances given by Sister Republic of Zimbabwe were going to be followed through.
You know, this scenario, let's say people are fighting war and some refugees crossed your border, they went into Zambia. The normal thing acceptable is not to send the refugees back to where they are fleeing persecution. Your government did that. Although you say you got assurance, but the United Nations Refugee Agency is saying that action your government took is in violation of the law.
That criticism is totally unjustified. Zambia knows far better than the UNHCR the situation and conditions on the ground in Zimbabwe and in Zambia. We have over 60,000 refugees on Zambian soil. Zambia has never turned back any person seeking asylum or seeking refugee status in here. At one, we have over 100,000 Congolese refugees, 750,000 Angolan refugees, thousands of Rwandese, Burundis, and all. At the moment when the numbers have dropped, we have 60,000. 16,000 of those have just entered this country this year from the Congo. Zambia has an impeccable record, a kind, compassionate country that receives refugees as far back as 1960s up to now. There is no war zone situation in Zimbabwe. There is a stable government. There is no militia there. There is no breakdown of law and order. The judicial process is taking place. Mr. Tendai Biti's party, the MDC, have since challenged the outcome of the elections, and they are challenging them before the courts of law, the same courts of law before which Honorable Biti is appearing. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees spoke too quickly, and we will put across our view, which is what I'm doing, that criticism is totally unjustified. And how does it fit with UNHCR now that Mr. Tendai Biti is at home in Harare? He has appeared before a magistrate, and he has been granted bail, and the due process of the law is taking place.
Amos, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much,
Amos Chanda is spokesman for Zambian President Edgar Lungu. He was speaking with me from the capital, Lusaka. A new South African political party wants the government to expel all foreigners because they claim foreign nationals bring crime into the country and are responsible for high unemployment. While it is unlikely the African Basic Movement Party will win big in next year's election, analysts say its emergence is a sign that the global wave of nationalist populist politics is going to be part of the 2019 election in South Africa. Viewers Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
African Basic Movement Party leader Tembelane Ngubane says the party he started last year has gained tens of thousands of members and signatories to its petition to deport all foreigners by year's end. Those numbers could not be verified.
We should get rid of all foreigners who are here. They are taking South Africa's jobs. They sleep with our sisters. They give them children. They get married to them so that they get South African citizenship. When they get them, they abandon them. So South Africa is like chaos. And they are criminals. We can't catch them. They have no fingerprints because they are from other countries.
The party is registered for the 2019 elections, but critics question whether its platform adheres to South Africa's inclusive constitution and whether its position leans dangerously towards hate speech, which is illegal in South Africa. Lawyers for Human Rights Refugee and Migrant Rights Program leader Sharon Ikambaram says she worries the rise in xenophobic politics could spur another outburst of violence. She adds that researchers have found foreign nationals are often job creators and are not disproportionately responsible for violent crime.
I can't even articulate how dangerous this is for our democracy. This is clearly a group that is a racist, they're xenophobic, and this is, I can substantiate that because of the statements that they're making. And I don't think there's a place for those kinds of people in our country. It makes no difference to me to the apartheid regime that said that only white people belong to South Africa.
Political analyst Ralph Matega says the ruling ANC's numerous corruption scandals and its inability to reduce unemployment and poverty makes it easier for extreme beliefs to enter the mainstream.
South Africa's politics is going in that direction of populism. You have always had that level of leftist populism that has been there within South African politics. But I'm seeing that is very, very different is the emergence of nationalist populism. Now, usually, these are the thoughts that you could just dismiss as the thought by loonies. Each and every society has those people on the outlier who push these kind of ideas. And if the center of your politics have got legitimacy, if the party that is in power has got legitimacy, it is accountable, it is doing things properly, that does not allow that kind of populism to try to compete to be at the center.
Matega also said the global growth of populist politics makes it easier for groups like this to emerge. Ngubane says he wants South Africans to succeed.
Donald Trump is putting Americans first. Here, we are putting South Africans first. You see, you cannot let your child sleep on empty stomach and feed your neighbor's child. That is the problem. Here in South Africa, our children sleep on empty stomach. Our neighbors, like Pakistan, Chinese, they sleep on full stomach. We don't want that.
He adds his party has a wider vision. He wants to abolish the presidency and make South Africa a kingdom, led by a king and a prime minister. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Friday, August 10th, and please send your comments and opinions to Daybreak Africa at voanews.com. Let's send shout out to all the listeners of our VOA affiliate stations around Africa. Daybreak Africa time is now 17 minutes past the hour. Uganda's newly appointed leader of the opposition in parliament says she will unite all members from various groups in the country in her effort to raise issues affecting the people. Betty Ayo Ochan, who was appointed by the Forum for Democratic Change, the FDC president Patrick Amura, last week, also says all opposition members of parliament must be tolerant to each other and work for the benefit of all Ugandans. Mugumi Davis Rakarinch reports. From Kampala.
Betty Awol Ochan, a member of Uganda's main opposition party, the Forum for Democratic Change, or FDC, acknowledges she has a daunting task ahead as the leader of the opposition in the parliament. She says the only way the opposition can influence the affairs of the nation is by uniting against the ruling party, the National Resistance Movement, or NRM.
I therefore call for unity among all parties in parliament that do not constitute ruling party, as this will give us credibility. We need to form a more formidable and respectable force in pushing for alternative development policies in view before parliament and the people.
Winfred Chiza, the outgoing leader of opposition, was instrumental in the debate aimed at amending the constitution, removing the presidential age limit.
I also commend my predecessor for gallantly leading us, more especially at a very trying moment of democracy, when we experience fight on the floor of parliament. She demonstrated an act of valor.
Members of the parliament were involved in a brawl during that debate after those opposed the removal age limit clause, including Chiza, stood and sang songs stifling the debate. But eventually the parliament, dominated by ruling NRM, amended the constitution, removing the age limit clause for one contesting for the presidency of Uganda, consequently granting the incumbent president, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, who has been in power for over 30 years, a chance to stand again. Winfred Chiza says she will work hand in hand with the new leader for the development of the nation.
I'm ready to work with Betty, give her the cooperation she desires, because all we want is a good country for all of us to live in, make Uganda a better place for all Ugandans to enjoy, and that we see a better tomorrow.
Ochan says she will work for the interests of ordinary citizens.
We must not forget that the common man in this country needs a good health, a good education, and better roads and markets, which can give them higher chances of being who they want to be. We must therefore push for more resources towards the betterment of these services.
Ochan says members of the parliament from all political parties should tolerate divergent views from one another. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
The people of Mali are returning to the polls this Sunday in a runoff presidential election between the two top vote-getters in the first round, incumbent President Ibrahim Boubacar Keïta and opposition leader Soumaïla Cissé. The third and fourth place winners have decided not to endorse opposition candidate Cissé, instead telling their supporters to vote their conscience. Meanwhile, the leader of the Party for Civic and Patriotic Action, The PACP, Yair Samake, says he will hold a news conference today, Friday, to announce his decision on who his party should support in Sunday's runoff election. For now, Samake is encouraging all Malians to exercise their democratic right to vote.
We must go to an election. We must elect our officials. I believe that the people of Mali deserve to go to that democratic exercise. So I encourage people to go vote, even though the two men that our choices today, we could have better options.
You ran in the first round, but you did not get the necessary votes to put you in the second round. Have you decided who you are going to support?
Today, by 10:30 Mali time, we will be announcing our position on who to support during the second round.
I was reading an article just a while ago about the two other candidates, Mr. Diallo and Diarra. They decided that they are not going to endorse any of the candidates. Instead, they are telling their supporters to vote their conscience. What do you make of that?
Well, it is the conclusion they've come to. You know, we have proposed to the Malian that we should take back control of our own destiny. We proposed a very audacious presidential project to take back the control of our common destiny. The people of Mali have voted and they chose these two gentlemen, current President Ibrahim Boubacar Keïta and opposition leader Soumaïla Cissé. So we respect the decisions that came out of their declaration. And today we'll be also presenting to the people what we have decided that will be the best course of action.
The problem that I think some people may have is that, let's take, for example, Mr. Diallo and Mr. Diarra, their decision not to endorse any of the candidates. Say, well, are they true political leaders? Because a true political leader will give marching orders to their supporters.
Well, these are Malian people who are stake in what's happening. The decision that they make in the voting booth in the precincts affect directly their own lives. They propose themselves to become president and to lead this country. Unfortunately, they did not get the necessary vote, as I didn't, to move to the second round. So by not deciding, I think it's a political move as well, not to lead the decision of the electorate. They want them to vote to their conscience. It's also a leadership to give voice to people instead of imposing a direction where you are not the object of the decision yourself. So I do understand the process. In 2013, PACP that I lead, I was a candidate. I was the first Malian political presidential candidate to show the leadership in asking people to vote their conscience because the two candidates did not represent the change we had hoped for. So we chose not to make the decision to vote for one or either. We asked people to vote their conscience, and that is a repeat this year that many candidates are going through that process. Having said that, relationships have changed and the dynamic for us have changed. And we will take all of those factors into account in making our decision that we will declare today to the people of Mali.
Yair Samake is the leader for the Party for Civic and Patriotic Action in Mali. You're speaking with me from the capital, Bamako. Five minutes past the hour time now for Daybreak Africa Sports. And here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Friday morning to you, Samson.
Good Friday morning to you, James. We begin in France, where the FIFA Under-20 Female World Cup is currently underway. Nigeria on Thursday met Haiti, and it was Rashidat Ajibade's first half penalty kick that gave the girls a 1-0 edge over Haiti in Group D to secure a crucial 3 points, keeping their knockout round qualification hopes alive. Nigeria's final group game will be against China on Monday. There are 4 groups of 4, with the top 2 teams progressing to the quarterfinal stage. Ghana, the other African representative at this year's World Cup, hopes of qualifying to the last 8 were dashed with a 4-0 defeat to the Netherlands on Wednesday. And staying with women's football, ahead of the COSAFA Cup Women's Championship, South Africa's national women football coach, Desiree Ellis, is pleased with the players' fitness levels, considering the fact that the last time the team were in camp was 2 months ago. Coach Ellis has called the players to a selection camp ahead of the COSAFA Women's Championship, which takes place at the end of the month.
Well, we're busy qualifying for the World Cup. We just qualified for AFCON. We're going to the COSAFA Cup in September. We're the holders. Obviously, that is part of preparation. Yeah. It's similar. It's a tournament-type competition, which is similar to AFCON. And we've never won AFCON, and it would be fantastic to win it this time around, because you automatically then qualify for the World Cup.
Former Nigerian international Emmanuel Amuneke is delighted with the opportunity afforded him to coach the Tanzania national team. The former Al Khartoum's gaffer was announced early this week as a new boss of the Taifa Stars after reaching a 2-year agreement with the country's federation. 47-year-old Coach Amuneke says his appointment is a new challenge, as it will afford him a chance to develop football in the East African country.
We are here to see how we can contribute our own ideas to the development of Tanzanian football. Yeah, we are aware that we have a qualification in the AFCON. I think the next game is against Uganda, in Uganda. So I'm much aware of the challenges, I'm much aware of the expectations, but I can also tell you that in football, you don't make much promises. The best thing is you try to be focused and do what is needful for the team.
And now to athletics news. The Olympic, Commonwealth and 800 meters world champion, South Africa's Caster Semenya, says she's got her eyes to run faster times in the remaining races for the year. Caster Semenya returned to South Africa after smashing a 25-year-old African record in the 800 meters at the African Athletics Championships in Nigeria.
We still believe that we can still go faster. We just put a little bit of distance on hold, and then we focus more on 400, 800 meters, but obviously top 5 is still the goal. We will still, you know, do, you know, 3 events.
And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good weekend. We look forward to your report again on Monday morning. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. Zimbabwe opposition leader Tendai Biti is due back in court today, Friday, to answer charges he played a role in inciting post-election violence. Biti fled to neighboring Zambia seeking political asylum, but was deported yesterday back to Zimbabwe. Meanwhile, the Zambian government is defending its decision to deport Tendai Biti back to Zimbabwe. Amos Chanda, spokesman for Zambian President Edgar Lungu, says Zambia received strong assurances from the Zimbabwean government that Biti will be accorded a fair trial. And that's it for this Friday, August 10th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending this week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Botti in Washington, wishing all of you in Africa a very good weekend.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndumbulu and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. and it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.